Our dear Father, which art in heaven, we would desire to come to thee in prayer now at the beginning of this service this evening to ask thy blessing upon the service, upon the hymns that will be sung, upon the songs of praise that will be sung, upon all of the activities, that they might redound unto thine honor and thy glory, and that they may serve as an inspiration and encouragement to us to serve thee more acceptably and to walk more closely in the footsteps of thy Son. We thank thee for the various arrangements of this convention thus far, for the many blessings received. We would look forward again this evening to further encouragement along our needs so that we may be able to fulfill thy will more clearly and perfectly, and that we might honor and glorify thy name in all of our walks of life. We seek to grow in appreciation of thee and thy goodness on our behalf, and we would endeavor to bring our lives into harmony with thy will, pray for thy help, for thy grace and thy strength, for thy guidance and direction and overruling in each of our affairs of life, so that we may do this to thy praise, honor, and glory. We would now commit our every interest into thy hands, praying thy continued blessing and guidance throughout this evening. We'd ask it all through and thank thee through Jesus Christ our Lord. Amen.
Thank you, Brother Dan. Brethren, this is a Vesper service, and there's some very special things in it. And our dear brother Edmund Jesuit has charge of it, and so without any further ado, we'll ask Brother Edmund to take over and help bring the blessings the Lord has in store for us this evening. Brother Edmund.
Our theme for this evening's service is entitled The Lord's Care Over His Church. And I think our appreciation for His care will be enhanced by the fact that we'll use various means this evening. We're going to use the singing voice. We're going to have the reading of scriptures and the words of the poet. One of the promises that the Lord made to Israel of old was the fact He told them that His presence would always be with them. And I think we can claim this same promise here at the end of the age. This promise is equally forceful to us, spiritual Israel. The prophet David gives us a beautiful picture of our Father's care over His people by using the wonderful example of a shepherd. As you well know, the scriptures, yet as far as David is concerned, he referred to Jehovah as the great shepherd. But we also know that God selected an under-shepherd, our Lord Jesus. He is the Redeemer Shepherd. And so, to begin our service this evening, let us all join in singing that beautiful hymn that portrays our Savior as a shepherd.
Savior, like a shepherd, lead us along the Jesus,
Psalmist David many times would prophetically show the experience that you and I would be at the end of the age. And I think he beautifully pictured that for us in the 46th Psalm, where he speaks of the problems that perhaps the church would have at the end of the age and the reassuring words that the Lord would be with them. So the 46th Psalm will now be read by Brother Alan McAllister.
God is our refuge and strength, a very present help in trouble. Therefore will not we fear, though the earth be removed, and though the mountains be carried into the midst of the sea. Though the waters thereof roar and be troubled, though the mountains shake with swelling thereof. There is a river, the streams whereof shall make glad the city of God, the holy place of the tabernacles of the Most High. God is in the midst of her. She shall not be moved. God shall help her, and that right early. The heathen raged, the kingdoms were moved. He uttered his voice, the earth melted. The Lord of hosts is with us. The God of Jacob is our refuge. Come, behold the works of the Lord, what desolations he has made in the earth. He maketh wars to cease unto the end of the earth. He breaketh the bow and cutteth the spear in sunder. He burneth the chariot in the fire. Be still and know that I am God. I will be exalted among the heathen. I will be exalted in the earth. The Lord of hosts is with us. The God of Jacob is our refuge.
One of the most intimate relationships that we have in the human family is that of the bride and the bridegroom. And during this period, when the bride and the bridegroom are talking things over as far as their coming wedding is concerned, they exchange some very endearing names. And so our heavenly bridegroom has also given us a very endearing name. He calls us, that is his church, by a very appropriate name, Beloved. Listen as we hear the song sung for us, In the Dawning, O Beloved, by Lorraine Trinna. In our study of the lives of the apostles, we find that certain of their experiences that they went through are reflected in their writings. I think the Apostle Peter, in his early beginnings, endeavored to accomplish many things in his own strength. And in time, I'm sure that he realized how weak he was. And because of these many failures, Peter was able to pen these words, as we have in 1 Peter 5:7, "Casting all your care upon him, for he careth for you." And I think the poet caught the spirit of these words, and he translated these into poetical language, and he composed a beautiful poem entitled, "He Careth for You." The recitation will be made by Sister Evelyn Doran.
He careth for you. What can it mean? Is it aught to him that the nights are long and the days are dim? Can he be touched by the griefs I bear, which sadden the heart and whiten the hair? Around his throne are eternal calms and strong, glad music of happy psalms and bliss unruffled by any strife. How can he care for my poor life? And yet I want him to care for me while I live in this world where the sorrows be. When the lights die down on the path I take, when strength is feeble and friends forsake, when love and music that once did bless have left me to silence and loneliness, and life's song changes to sobbing prayers, then my heart cries out for a God who cares. When shadows hang over me the whole day long, and my spirit is bowed with shame and wrong, when I am not good, and the deeper shade of conscious sin makes my heart afraid, and the busy world has too much to do to stay in its course to help me through, and I long for a Savior, can it be that the God of the universe cares for me? Oh, wonderful story of deathless love. Each child is dear to that heart above. He fights for me when I cannot fight. He comforts me in the gloom of night. He lifts the burden, for he is strong. He stills the sigh and awakens the song. The sorrow that bore me down he bears and loves and pardons because he cares. Let all who are sad take heart again. We are not alone in our hours of pain. Our Father stoops from his throne above to soothe and quiet us with his love. He leaves us not when the storm is high, and we have safety, for he is nigh. Can that be trouble which he doth share? Oh, rest in peace, for the Lord does care.
There are times when we as the Lord's people become rather discouraged, and they were permitted to go into some valley experience. And at that particular time, we're looking for something to lift us up. And often the simpler things of life have this effect upon us. And sometimes we may look at the lower creation and realize how well the Lord takes care of this lower creation. We can look at the little sparrow, and we recognize that the Lord can take care of a little creature such as it is. And so if he could take care of such a little creature, certainly he could take care of us. And we have a song about a little sparrow, and who could sing it better than a group of young, budding Bible students? They're going to sing for us, "His Eye is on the Sparrow." They're coming from the back. Oftentimes, the prophet David wished to associate Jehovah's strength with something that he could find in the fields. He was looking for something that would reflect the tremendous strength that Jehovah has. And being a shepherd, he did look around in the field, and he found something that represented, to his mind, the strength of Jehovah. And that symbol that he found was a rock. Listen to his expression in the 62nd Psalm delivered by Brother Ron Chastain.
Psalm 62. Truly my soul waiteth upon God, from him cometh my salvation. He only is my rock and my salvation. He is my defense. I shall not be greatly moved. How long will ye imagine mischief against a man? Ye shall be slain, all of you. As a bowing wall shall ye be, and as a tottering fence. They only consult to cast him down from his excellency. They delight in lies. They bless with their mouth, but they curse inwardly. Selah. My soul, wait thou only upon God, for my expectation is from him. He only is my rock and my salvation. He is my defense. I shall not be moved. In God is my salvation and my glory. The rock of my strength and my refuge is in God. Trust in him at all times, ye people. Pour out your heart before him. God is a refuge for us. Selah. Surely men of low degree are vanity, and men of high degree are a lie. To be laid in the balance, they are altogether lighter than vanity. Trust not in oppression, and become not vain in robbery. If riches increase, set not your heart upon them. God hath spoken once, twice have I heard this. That power belongeth unto God. Also unto thee, O Lord, belongeth mercy, for thou renderest to every man according to his work.
The prophet Isaiah was able to portray our Lord in very many roles. And at this time of the year, we're reminded so much of Isaiah 9:6. For unto us a child is born, unto us a son is given, and his name shall be called Wonderful. And indeed, as we look at our Savior, he is indeed wonderful. Listen as the two voices blend together in singing that beautiful hymn, A Wonderful Savior.
Wonderful Savior to me. He
Apostle Paul was very familiar with the ships at sea, and he often realized the value that an anchor was to a ship when it was in a storm. And on one occasion, you remember, he wrote about this anchor in a very spiritual way when he says, which hope we have as an anchor of the soul within the veil. And one of the hymn writers used the anchor as his theme for a song that he wrote entitled, We Have an Anchor. And so now at this time, the convention choir will now raise their voices in singing that hymn, We Have an Anchor. In reading the Psalms, David often would create a certain environment. And in this environment, he would kind of reassure himself of God's presence. And he acknowledged God on so many occasions as his protector. And he expressed it so well in the 121st Psalm. And so now we'll have that read to us by Brother George Wilmot.
First Christian Love from the Fort Worth Ecclesia. Psalm 121. I will lift up mine eyes into the hills, from whence cometh my help. My help cometh from the Lord, which made heaven and earth. He will not suffer thy foot to be moved. He that keepeth thee will not slumber. Behold, He that keepeth Israel shall neither slumber nor sleep. The Lord is thy keeper. The Lord is thy shade upon thy right hand. The sun shall not smite thee by day, nor the moon by night. The Lord shall preserve thee from all evil. He shall preserve thy soul. The Lord shall preserve thy going out and thy coming in from this time forth and even forevermore.
When the apostles pass in review, we often rank the Apostle Paul as the chief of the apostles. And yet, when we examine his life, certainly he wasn't robed in any kind of luxury. He certainly wasn't robed in any wealth of any kind. And I think if we made a comparison today, the religious leaders certainly would never permit their kind to have the same experience that Paul had. In other words, they wouldn't permit their leaders to go hungry or to suffer in any way. But as you review the life of Paul, we think of the many experiences that he went through. How many times he was imprisoned just for the preaching of the gospel, beaten on countless occasions. He faced death over and over again. Received stripes from his own people, stoned, being left for dead, shipwrecked 3 times. In all of this, Paul endured because he was an apostle of Christ. But where can we seek a protection? We wonder often in Paul's case, where was his guardian angel? I think a question of that kind enters into our minds when our lives experience things of that nature, when we enter sorrow and pain. I think as we study Paul's life, a great truth emerges. God will not remove all trials and temptations, pain and loss. If God shielded us from all of this, actually he would be doing us harm. One thing that we must learn is that we're dependent upon God's strength. And this could only be learned by us by showing, that is, God would have to show us how weak we are. And so to learn compassion, it is necessary to observe some of the human infirmities. God permits us to know the depraved so we can appreciate the perfect. We suffer injustice in order to appreciate the foundation of God's throne. And all of the experiences that are common to mankind, the church must go through in order for them to be developed so they can become merciful high priests. And so God's promise for Paul, for each church member, is not to permit that which would harm the new creature. Certainly, he is present in all the storms of life. Therefore, the storms are not meaningless. And so in God's providence, Paul endured a thorn in the flesh which remained with him until death. And so God's answer to Paul is, I think it's an answer to each of us, my grace is sufficient for thee, for my strength is made perfect in thy weakness. The church is often portrayed in the role of soldiers. The Apostle Paul, you remember, wrote to Timothy, advising him, instructing him to be a good soldier of Jesus Christ. And indeed, Paul was a wonderful example of being a good soldier. And so we're going to sing this hymn entitled, Stand Up for Jesus. And this reflects this important relationship that we have, the captain and the soldiers. Now, this tune is going to be just a little different than the one we're accustomed to. And so the pianist is going to sing, or I should say play, one verse, so you get the idea of the tune, and then the words will be the same that we're accustomed to. But you can't sing this hymn by sitting down. You've got to stand up. Let's all stand up for Jesus. Thank you. There is one word in our Christian vocabulary that we would at times like to do without. But it's a word that if you just change one letter, it changes the meaning completely. And I'm sure you know what the word is, disappointment. You remove a D and replace it with an H and you get another word, his appointment. And so the poet changed this word disappointment four times in four verses, revealing very beautifully his appointment or God's appointment. And so the poem's title is Disappointment, and Sister Alpha Caterba will recite it for us.
Disappointment, disappointment, his appointment. Change one letter, then I see that the thwarting of my purpose is God's better choice for me. His appointment must be blessing, though it may come in disguise. For the end from the beginning, open to his wisdom lies. Disappointment, his appointment. Whose? The Lord's, who loves me best, understands and knows me fully, who my faith and love would test. For like loving earthly parent, he rejoices when he knows that his child accepts unquestioned all that from his wisdom flows. Disappointment, his appointment. No good thing will he withhold. From denials oft we gather treasures of his love untold. Well he knows each broken purpose leads to fuller, deeper trust. And the end of all his dealings proves our God is wise and just. Disappointment, his appointment. Lord, I take it then as such, like the clay in hands of potter, yielding wholly to thy touch. All my life's plan is thy molding, not one single choice be mine. Let me answer unrepining, Father, not my will, but thine.
Who but David could have created a cuddly expression as found in the 94th Psalm? You remember those words, he shall cover thee with his feathers, and under his wings thou shalt trust. I think David on many occasions would observe the mother hen as she began to cluck, giving the danger sign to her little chicks. And I think he just drew the lesson for us. We can feel the Father's love, his care and his protection. These are the symbolic wings that we hide under, shielding us from the harm and keeping us warm and safe. And so it'll be our pleasure now to hear the quartet render that hymn, Under His Wings.
Trust him.
In the first verse of the 91st Psalm, there David talks about a secret place. A secret place where dwells the one on high. And he also speaks of he who dwells in the secret place is in the shadow of the Almighty. Then David goes on in the same psalm. He speaks of the many pitfalls that could cause harm if it wasn't for God's care. It's a beautiful psalm. And so the words of Psalm 91 will be recited by Brother David Chastain.
Psalms 91. He that dwelleth in the secret place of the Most High shall abide under the shadow of the Almighty. I will say of the Lord, He is my refuge and my fortress, my God. In Him will I trust. Surely He shall deliver thee from the snare of the fowler and from the noisome pestilence. He shall cover thee with His feathers, and under His wings shalt thou trust. His truth shall be thy buckler and shield. Thou shalt not be afraid for the terror by night, nor for the arrow that flieth by day, nor for the pestilence that walketh in darkness, nor for the destruction that wasteth at noonday. 1,000 shall fall at thy side, and 10,000 at thy right hand, but it shall not come nigh thee. Only with mine eyes shalt thou behold and see the reward of the wicked. Because thou hast made the Lord, which is my refuge, even the Most High, thy habitation. There shall no evil befall thee, neither shall any plague come nigh thy dwelling. For he shall give his angels charge over thee to keep thee in all thy ways. They shall bear thee up in their hands, lest thou dash thy foot against a stone. Thou shalt tread upon the lion and adder. The young lion and the dragon shalt not trample under feet. Because he has set his love upon me, therefore will I deliver him. I will set him on high, because he has known my name. He shall call upon me, and I will answer him. I will be with him in trouble. I will deliver him and honor him. With long life will I satisfy him and show him my salvation.
One of the great privileges that we have as being the Lord's people is that we can address our great God as our Father. It is our Heavenly Father that provides for our needs. We're His children, provides our food, our raiment, our shelter in a very spiritual way. And I think the poet caught the spirit of this, and so he wrote this poem, this composition called Our Father's Care. And this will be expressed by Sister Irene Donaisky.
Father's care, our Heavenly Father, as thy saints press on toward their eternal home beyond the skies, pilgrims and strangers in a hostile land, thy loving hand their every need supplies. Food, raiment, shelter promised for each day, and angels' hosts to guard them on their way. Within thy holy place they dwell secure, no evil can come nigh, no foes invade. The shining walls protect on every side. No pestilence, no plague can make afraid. While all around the stormy winds increase, Jehovah keeps his own in perfect peace. With linen garments thou hast covered them, which garments cost the life of thy dear son. In these white robes they work embroidery fine, till all complete, in golden glory shone, the borrowed robe is now their very own. Here in the harvest time, thou hast prepared thy table full of food, both rare and sweet, the richest milk for all thy tender babes,
and for the stalwart man the strongest meat. With bread of life thy table dost abound, and here the living waters may be found. Of bitter herbs and honey there is spread a full supply that they may stronger grow, with wine to strengthen them for days to come, and oil to cause their cup to overflow. Oh, who could lack with such a rich supply? Our Father, here we'll feast until we die. If we should wander, Lord, from that abode, if we should soil our robe or wrinkle it, oh, let us hear and heed thy warning voice. Ye cannot come within till ye are fit. Help us to cleanse our robes, our steps retrace, that we may dwell within thy secret place.
In the sixth chapter of Matthew, our Master provides us with some instruction as to how we should pray. And in these instructions, our Master informs us that the Heavenly Father knows, even before we begin praying, what we have need of. Remember, we read in Matthew 6:8, "Be not ye therefore like unto them, for your Father knoweth what things ye have need of before ye ask." And this passage is so well expressed, I think, through the mind of the poet when he composed the poem called, "Your Father knoweth what things ye have need of." And this will be expressed by the voice of Sister Bessie Kasiak.
Your Father knoweth what things ye have need of. Our Father knows what things we need each step along the way. His eye of love doth never sleep. He watches night and day. He knows sometimes, like ripening grain, we know the sunshine bright. Again, he sends the peace that comes with shadows of the night. Sometimes our pride would fain unfurl ambitious flaunting sail. Ah, then he knows we need to walk humiliation veil. Sometimes he takes our eager hands and folds them on our breast. He gently lays our work aside. He knows we need to rest. Sometimes we need companionship, sometimes the wilderness. How sweet to feel he knows and gives the state that most will bless. Then let us leave it all to him, assured that, come what may, our Father knows just what we need upon our pilgrim way.
As we know that the Lord uses various channels in an answer to our prayers, and oftentimes he will use the brethren in a very marked way, showing his providence. And I believe we have a measure of responsibility to share our experiences one with another. And as the Lord uses each of us in this way, we could liken ourselves perhaps to burning embers. And we all know what burning embers are. They warm each other, as it were. They keep the fire going. And I think each of us could be likened to a burning ember. We stay close together. And this brings us closer as brethren and closer to our Lord. And so that's going to be the title of our next song, "Burning Embers," sung by two voices. One of the lessons that you and I as Christians must learn is to trust our Heavenly Father. Remember the wise man in Proverbs 29 said that whoso putteth his trust in the Lord shall be safe. The Apostle Paul spoke about trust this way when he said, such trust have we through Christ to God. And it was our Heavenly Father who we have trusted that has provided his Son on our behalf. And you and I have complete confidence and trust in the Lord Jesus, who has been selected by the Father to guide us. And so at this moment, let us all raise our voices and sing that lovely hymn of trust, Trusting Jesus.
Simply trusting every day, trusting through the stormy way, even when my store is small, trusting Jesus, that is all.
The ending of a year and the beginning of a new year provides us, I think, with an opportunity to reflect so much on the leadings of the Lord. And as we look forward in prospect, we also expect Him to lead us in the coming year. And so for our closing number this evening, we're going to have a very appropriate recitation of a poem entitled, The Year Before Us. And this will be delivered by Brother Robert Gray.
The year before us, standing at the portal of the opening year, words of comfort meet us, hushing every fear, spoken through the silence by our Father's voice, tender, strong, and faithful, making us rejoice. Onward then, and fear not, children of the day, for His word shall never, never pass away. I, the Lord, am with thee. Be thou not afraid. I will help and strengthen, be thou not dismayed. Yea, I will uphold thee with mine own right hand. Thou art called and chosen in my sight to stand. Onward then, and fear not, children of the day, for His word shall never, never pass away. For the year before us, oh, what rich supplies for the poor and needy living streams shall rise. For the sad and mournful shall His grace abound. For the faint and feeble, perfect strength be found. Onward then, and fear not, children of the day, for His word shall never, never pass away. He will never fail us. He will not forsake. His eternal covenant He will never break. Resting on His promise, what have we to fear? God is all sufficient for the coming year. Onward then, and fear not, children of the day, for His word shall never, never pass away.
We'd just like to take this opportunity to thank all the participants on our program this evening. We're very thankful for the contribution they've made for us. And I trust that the hour spent in this fashion of praising the Lord by song, by word, has been a blessing to us.
Brother, I have one notice here we'd like requested to read to you. Love from Sister Annie Boychuk and her mother, Sister Stotsky, and love from the Winnipeg, Manitoba Ecclesia. And special love from the Ochoa family up there, Brother John, Sister Mary, and Sister Joanne. They thank you for your prayers and sympathies in their recent loss. Brother Frank Boychuk signed that. And we requested to announce the weather outside has been rather bad this evening. On the main highways and streets, it probably is not so slippery, but as we go out and around, getting onto 75 particularly, we want to be very careful because the side streets, secondary streets, are rather slippery. Now we'll ask Brother Harold Kiermichael of Wisconsin to read the songs in the night. Brother Harold.
January 2nd. For ye were sometimes darkness, but now ye are light in the Lord.
Walk as children of light, Ephesians 5:8. The Lord Jesus tells us that if we would be faithful to the light, we must be, let our shine, light shine so as to show forth the praises of our Father in heaven. He forewarns us that many will not appreciate our good works, but will say all manner of evil against us falsely, for his name's sake. He assures us that the children of darkness hate the children of light, but he admonishes that in these experiences we should rejoice and be exceedingly glad, for the great is our reward in heaven. Such is the sentiment of the children of the light, that they will rejoice even in persecutions and in tribulation, as they let the light, the truth, shine out. The error will be manifested to those of right understanding and of noble heart. For ye were sometimes darkness, but now ye are light in the Lord. Walk as children of light, Ephesians 5:8.
Now, in closing the services for this evening, we'll ask Brother Edmund to seek the Lord's blessing and guidance on us as we separate to a good night's rest and then more convention tomorrow. Brother Edmund.
Our Father, which art in heaven, we continue to hallow thy holy name as again we come into thy divine presence. In the name of our Redeemer, Jesus, thy Son, we're thankful that we're able to conclude this day in this manner of praising thy name, praising thy Son's name. We're thankful for this day especially, that thou hast permitted us to come to this place and to learn things that will be of value to us as we continue on this narrow way. And we would ask that thou would bless the proceedings of this entire day for our good. And we would ask if it would be thy will that we would again meet on the morrow and again enjoy more of these blessings. We continue to pray for all of thy people, wherever they may be, especially those that have made this covenant by sacrifice. And now, Father, as we separate from this place, may we have thy blessing, for we ask it in his name. Amen.